You are listening to 20 Something Jan podcast, and I'm your host, Jessica Fortune. Just as the name implies, here we get to rant about every issue bothering us as 20 Something while also learning from those who successfully crossed their 20s. So welcome to our little corner.
Hello, welcome to a new episode of 20 Somethings Rant podcast. My name is Jessica Fortunes. If this is your first time here, you're definitely most welcome. Here on the podcast, we get to talk about everything bothering us as 20 somethings while also learning from those who've successfully crossed their 20s, because 20s lives matters. I don't know if that's a thing, but I really think it should be a thing, because being a 20 something just seems like it has its own, you know, it's his own phase, and it's so different from what we're used to. So I think there should be a 20-somethings life matters. But anyways, if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for joining once again. You're absolutely amazing. You know that I love you, so thank you for coming back again. So on today's episode of the podcast, let me just say this. I put out a call on Twitter and Instagram saying, anybody who wants to talk about the pressure of being a firstborn should just send me a DM. I want us to talk about it. And that's because I was having a moment of my own, like, Jesus Christ. I just feel like being a firstborn in an African home just comes with its own wahala. Even outside being a 20-something, there's just this pressure. I remember one time my mommy told me something about, you know, if you go to school and you finish well, your sister will be inspired to finish school too. So it's like, I have to always just get it right and all of that. So I wanted to rant. And so today I am going to be doing that. And I am joined by Goodness Ehizodem. Hi, Goodness.
Hi, Jessica.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm so, so excited.
And yay. I'm excited to have you. Okay, so Goodness is a 20-something, and she's also a firstborn. So I feel like she can relate, and together we're going to have this conversation. So if you're listening and you're a 20-something and you're a firstborn, and you also want to be part of this conversation, you can definitely tweet at 20-somethingsrands on Twitter, or you can send a DM to Instagram, or you can send a voice note on Anchor and just share your opinions, and I'll put that in the next episode. So you get any which ways, you can always be part of the conversation. Or if you'd rather send an email to 20somethingsrant@gmail.com. Whatever ways is fine. Now let's go straight into the discussion. Goodness, tell me about your experience being the firstborn. Just give me an overview, or give us an overview.
Okay. So the firstborn, not just the firstborn, the first girl.
Wow. Like
how it is we in Nigeria, you are da. So everybody's looking up to you. You can't fall the family's hand. You're the other. So you have to like set an example. So I'm the firstborn of three girls. Yes. So I have two sisters. So I'm wondering how it was going to be if I had a brother. So we are just three girls, and I'm the first child, and it's sweet at some point, because okay, first I don't wash plates. I don't do all so many chores like my younger ones do, but apart from that, the responsibility is there. Even the responsibility that no one even puts on you, the one you even that is self-imposed. So it's just there in the air, even though it's not written, it's not something that is structured or spoken of. It's just there. Being a firstborn, especially in Nigeria, is a huge task. Is a really huge task. Yeah. So that's it.
And how do you feel though? How does it make you feel?
Well, I feel like God actually placed me here. God actually placed me here. So somehow I don't just act, I don't just react to things. I know that God has actually placed me here, and it's for a purpose. So I'm actually learning from the situation and actually trying my best to, even while I want to be strategic, I want to be careful because I'm laying an example. I also want to be patient with myself and also know that I'm also human. And even though I am the first in the family, I'm human too. And I am supposed to make mistakes. I'm supposed to learn from my mistakes. So even while I still try to be, oh, I'm strong. Oh, you're very strong. You're the firstborn. You should be strong and all that. I forgive myself for the mistakes that I make, and then know that I am human, and it's only normal for me to make mistakes and learn from them. So it's better for me, because that way I teach my younger ones that, okay, I made this mistake already, even though they might not entirely listen to, because they have their minds of their own. but it's good, because I'm going on that path, and I already have experience on that path, and I can lead my younger ones. I can advise them, okay, this is what I think you should do, this is what I think you should not do. Even though you need to create your own path, but I need to also give them advice for my own personal experience. So it's a lot of responsibility, in fact self-imposed responsibility more than the one that is even imposed on me. But then I consider it a privilege.
I think it is a privilege, because if you're able to succeed as a firstborn and do all of that responsibility when you're in the corporate world or working with an organization, you kind of already know how to be responsible for certain things. So it just makes you kind of, you know, bold and able to tackle problems head on and able to deal with them. But for me, I think the part where I'm always confused is where I have nobody to, you know, like to go back to and say, ah, how did you do this thing? Like, you know,
sure.
I mean, I know that my parents are there, but I feel like they were born in such a time so far off, and it's almost like they can't relate firsthand. And so when I have friends who are like, let's say second born, there's this I don't know what to call it, there's this carefreeness they have that I don't have. And I swear it's like you're not an adult or a firstborn. It's like you would know a firstborn when you see them. They're always so reserved. And then you see, like, the second child just becomes a radical, like, so rascal. Like, they don't care. It's like, I can do anything. Nobody's going to really talk. Mm-hmm. Or the fact that if there's a mistake in the house right now that happens in the house, and it involves my sister, for a fact, I know that once my mommy starts to complain, or once my dad starts to complain, even though I had nothing to do with the problem, I'm just going to get involved in it. Because you should have told her. You should have done that. I'm like... But she's grown. She knows what she's doing. Can you leave me alone?
Yeah, I get.
That's it for me. And like, oh my God, I don't always want to have to be responsible. Allow me to be. I want to be radical. I want to be able to do things and not, you know, think about, oh, I'm responsible for someone. Yeah. Somebody's watching my footsteps and all of that. And I actually just realized of recent, as a grown up right now, that it's actually a thing. Your younger ones really do look up to you. I see my sisters, my sister do certain things. And apparently these are things she picked up from me. And it's not like we ever sat down and I said, oh, do this way because I'm doing it. But she just, I guess, what's that word? Unconsciously just picked them up. And knowing that now, I'm like, OMG, I need to be careful what I'm doing and to be careful what I'm saying, because this girl is picking it up, you know. So but then how do you feel sometimes when they say things like, firstborns are, what's that word, guinea pigs? You know how your parents our parents use us for practicals, anything that could have gone wrong.
Okay.
Anything that could have gone wrong, how does that make you feel? Or what do you think about that statement? Do you think you're the guinea pig of your family? Let me ask that question. I think I am.
So somehow I think that this thing you just mentioned is actually shown in the way our parents raise us. I think our parents raise us differently. For me, while I was growing up, there was a lot of shouting, there was a lot of holding, there was a lot of spanking and flogging, in fact. So it was at that point, that was the best way my parents saw to handle the whole thing. That's what they deemed fit to handle. That was their own orientation. That was the way they could handle the whole parenting thing. So, but upon growing up or upon getting older, they are seeing that if there are other ways to raise children, they're seeing that you can actually talk to the child, you can sit down with the child and raise. And it's different from the way we were raised. I see my mom talking to my younger sister like she's an adult. Sit her down, and then I'm like, you didn't do this for me. You just spanked me. You didn't even allow me to make the mistakes before you even hit me. So yeah, sure. We are. And it still boils down to, I think that somehow it's a privilege.
How is that a privilege? Explain that.
Okay, because all these things get to toughen us.
Are we supposed to be tough? Jesus.
No, even though I get you. We are not supposed to be like tough, but somehow these things are, even though they've mad us to an extent, but they've actually made us to also to an extent. Because they've given us principles, they've made us stronger, even though we are not maybe supposed to be tough, like you said. So I see this reflect, because I feel somehow that my younger sisters are not as tough as I am. So recently, I had an issue with my sister. I just feel that she has lower energy. She's not vibing. She's not hustling. She's not putting in the work and all that. So I feel like, oh, she's not doing enough. And then this is because I feel that she should be as tough as I am. And then it doesn't have to be so, because I just see it as a privilege that I just see myself.
But do you think she's not tough because of the what's that word? Because she's not the first, or because of the treatment she got? Is that why you think? Because I feel like some people, it's just the way they're born.
I think she's not tough because the responsibility is not as much on her. That's what I feel.
Okay, so you think if the responsibility were more, and maybe she was like the oldest firstborn or something, she would have toughened up a bit.
Yes, because somehow she has to call me, okay, please send me some money and all that. So younger ones call me sometimes. I support the home, so it's just there in my subconscious. So even when I'm working, I'm exerting more energy because I'm not just working for me, I'm working for other people, younger siblings, sometimes my parents too. So that mentality makes me tougher, it makes me stronger, it makes me want to work twice as hard.
I do agree with you that it has its blessings and it has its like curses, because I mean, talking about the blessings now, for me, I think from a very young age, which will go back to responsibility, I always felt this need to, you know, to work hard, to get money for myself. Yeah. Even though people used to say, oh, your daddy is this, your daddy has money because he was abroad and all of that. You know, but I never saw that. I didn't care about it. I'm like, no, this guy does not have money. He's not your $3. He cannot, like, so I always, you know, even my dad, once upon a time, he said, Jessica, if there's one thing I know, you know how to make money. You would definitely find your way. You know, like, I was that person, very independent from the onset. I just, once I came out of school, I knew that, you know what, I need to get a job. I can't even wait and sit down home with these people. I just need, and the truth, like, my mom would, while talking to my mom sometimes, I'm like, she's like, you don't have any responsibility in terms of finances, but you work like you have responsibilities, right? Like, I have somebody who is asking me for bills and all of that, just because it was just, I guess, from the seeing the fact that when, again, there wasn't a lot. I mean, things have gotten better over time. But when I was born, there were like a little bit of struggles that I think my sister did not experience. So me seeing that, I think that also made me know the importance of working, because I knew a time when there wasn't enough and we probably had to, you know, eat maybe twice or once. And so I don't want to go back to that point, but my sister didn't experience that. So it'd be understandable if when it comes to money, she's more, she spends more lavishly than I do. I am the saving person. She's like, she can't be bothered, you know, and all of that thing. So I definitely understand that and the blessings, but I do think that being tough all the time is not great. But now let's talk about money. You did mention the fact that sometimes you have to like assist at home and all of that. How do you feel about that? Knowing that as the firstborn, I feel like firstborns, most time they help their parents out when it comes to these things. Like my mom would tell me, we're just two girls. Yeah, just myself. And, oh, wow, you have three. Yeah, three girls. We're two. Wow. So almost identical, right? Yeah. So, yeah. So my mom would usually say, if I had given birth to more children, you would have, by now, you'd have started training them. You know, all the time, like, what? What do you mean? But I realized that there was a time in African home when it was like that.
Yeah.
So you having more siblings and already they call you for help. I mean, I do help my sister once in a while, but she still collects more from my parents. I just do as per big sister once in a while. But for you, who probably they call you for help and all of that, what do you, what, how does that make you feel that your money isn't always yours? Do you feel bad about it? Because I can't imagine my younger sister saving money and giving me, like, except she just wants to give me, buy me birthday gift and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, so how does that make you feel?
Okay, so this is one very, very delicate part because point in my life, I am at the point when I'm like, oh gosh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore because it seems like earning money, and then I don't see every of the money. I don't get to spend all the money. Sometimes I don't even get to get the things that I want to because I have other obligations, financial obligations. So it's one very delicate part which I think is affects most African homes, most firstborns who are earning incomes and are trying, yeah, from their own income, they are still trying to support the family and all. So it's at this point, I think that you should draw the line. I'm talking to myself too. I think that you should draw the line. There's one thing that picking where them disturb, you know, they grow. Like picking where them disturb, you know, they grow. You just find out that you keep rigmaroling in circles because you do not break out of that rat hole. You do not break out of it because the little that you earn, you drop it. The little that you earn, you drop it, and you're not exactly breaking out money that you could have used for investments or other things, and then you have to support and all. So I think that you should draw the line. So for know that this is a dedicated amount that you can give, maybe monthly or yearly or maybe weekly, depending. So just know that this is a certain amount that you're not going to cross that amount, both maybe for siblings or parents or whoever you're giving to. Just know when to draw the line because it's going to impede you. Like, I am not even joking about if we kid you a lot, your growth process, so many courses I wanted to get, so many things, so it will impede your growth. So you just have to know when to draw the line, and it's going to hurt sometimes because you really love these people and you give to them, you wouldn't want to see them suffer or struggle or anything. So but you just have to know when to draw the line. Know that you are not a martyr, you are not things. You cannot give your know when to draw the line. And there's a point when you break out and you're very, very stable, you're on the ground, and you can also help. You can even help people with even getting their own source of income.
Yeah.
You're still trying to be financially stable. You have to know when to draw the line. It's very important.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. So for you who now had to, like, you mentioned that there are courses that you could have taken, but you haven't taken because you probably had to do some financial, like, backings at home and all of that. How does it make you feel towards the home? Do you feel resentment? Do you feel angry? Do you feel like maybe I should not have been the first one? I wish I was the third one.
Okay, it comes up sometimes, but like I said before, I just try to see the good in everything. Try to see the good in everything because somehow I love these people, and then I just take it like, oh, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, and it's not going to always be like that. Things are going to get better. Everybody is going to be self-sufficient. My sister is going to grow up and she's going to be able to take care of herself and the other ones too. So it's not going to be like that all the time. So I do the ones that I can. Yeah, while I can, and then increase my earning power too, so that I can still get the courses that I need to get. Yeah,
makes perfect sense. And so
I
can't, you talked
to that I am not being hurt, so he hasn't hurt me in some way. It has somehow, but I still just look at everything and then just, I love these people. That's
what. Have you ever had that conversation with them that this thing is hurting me? I don't like you, you know? Have you ever said that?
We've had sincere conversations. Even most recently, we've had sincere conversations. But one thing is that you're not even the one imposing it. Like, that's the thing. So you're not even the one asking. Like, nobody's really asking me per se. But I just see these things and I know that it is needed. Like, these are big, it's needed. So I just help and support. So, which is why I say that you should know when to draw the line.
Yeah, and I mean, very true about what you said about the fact that they might not necessarily be the ones, like, saying, oh, we need this in the house. But you just being that person who kind of, you know, that's the thing. You just feel it in your body and in your soul that you need to do something. Yeah. And then you just, I think maybe it's a thing where firstborns are actually more family oriented, especially firstborn girls.
We really are.
Yeah, because I would see, because literally sometimes I'm in the house and nobody's saying anything about bring anything or anything, but something probably just happens. And at the back of my head, I'm like, I should probably just do this. Because somebody has to do it, and I don't know, it might as well be me. Not because anybody's saying do it, but because you just have that feeling, that gut, that, I don't know, maybe, in fact, I think firstborn children are maybe differently born. No, not born, made. Especially the girls. And if you're a guy listening to this, this is not to say that guys are not, don't have the same challenges. But as a lady, I just can't relate to the fact that there are certain things I just want to do because of, not because there's any fact to me doing it, but just a feeling of, oh, I need to do this. So if you're a guy and you think that, oh, a guy can also do that, okay, no problem. Again, send a voice note to tell me what you think, your perspective as the firstborn, and let's just have this chat. And also, I should actually mention that there would be a clubhouse discussion for this. Yeah. After every episode of, like, 20 somethings rant podcast, I am also going to be hosting a clubhouse, a room on Clubhouse. Yeah, that's so, like, so big. Well, anyways, a room on Clubhouse where we'll talk about this. So if you have opinions from everything we've said and reactions that you want to join on and you want to contribute, stay tuned. Follow 20 somethings rant on Instagram. I will share the date and all of that there, and I will also share it in the description of this episode, so that you can also join and share your experiences and all of that. So back to my conversation with Goodness. So have you at any point felt like, maybe I would rather not be, if I could switch, I would switch. That should be the question. If you could switch right now, like, God just comes and say, Goodness, like all those spiritual things, and says, I give you the option to move from being the first child to being the third. What would you say, yes or no?
Well, okay, that's a tricky one. Would I say yes? I don't think I would say yes entirely, because I think you're being
diplomatic, actually. Let me just say, I think you're being diplomatic.
I'm actually thinking of my siblings. I can't actually, I can't imagine them being the ones to suffer this brunt, hold this responsibility. I'm just imagining my younger sister, she would just faint.
But the position, we already talked about the fact that the position toughens you up. So, I mean, that means there's probably a softness in you that you do not allow to blossom because you're the first child with the, you know, with the responsibilities.
True. So maybe I would just switch to positions because good things suit me too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I don't think that our younger ones, sometimes I don't think that they understand the benefits of what they have.
True.
I feel like they don't even know.
True.
Maybe because I feel like they don't know that, oh, the truth is, because you already have a firstborn, there are certain things you're shielded from. There are certain conversations or decisions that need to be made in the family, and you're not involved in it because everybody feels like, oh, she's probably still in school, she doesn't understand yet, and all of that. And so they are shielded from it. But you, who is also at a certain age where you probably should be shielded too, you're not, because of that position. I think it's almost like being given a CEO even before you are ready to be a CEO. It's like, you know, when you're a CEO of a company and you have to go through certain, you know, like trainees and all of that. But as a firstborn in a family, an African family to be precise, I don't think anybody literally trains you for that role. You just, you grow into it. You get there and you figure out that this is what I need to do. This is it. This is it. You are it. So if God now helps you, you have...
I said you learn on the job.
Yeah, you definitely learn on job. And talking about the fact, does it actually end? I know somewhere you mentioned that things get better. Yeah, things get better. But does the responsibility ever really change? Because I see people who are now like in their 40s, 30s, really grown. But when having discussions with their older ones, and you still know that the older one is still trying to protect the junior ones, the older one still probably, if there's a financial responsibility, the older one probably has to bring, let's say, a bigger share of the amount. You know, the older one still has, is the first person they'll probably, if there's a challenge that they need help with, the older one is the first person they go to. So does it, do you ever really think like it totally gets better?
Well, I wouldn't say totally, but it actually does get better. No, maybe not totally, because maybe you would still be looked up to, like, okay, maybe things are happening and then they need someone for advice and all. They'll still have to look up to you. It doesn't get totally better. I don't think it totally gets better, but it gets better in the sense that your siblings grow up, they have their own families, they have their own... they start earning their own money. They start having their own wealth of experience. So, to an extent, they can also apply it to the house. They can also apply it in terms of decision-making and also financial responsibilities. But not like it totally, but then it gets better. It's not like as tough as it is on us now as 20-somethings. I think so. I'm not grown yet, so I wouldn't know. But I think it gets better a little.
Yeah, arguably, I guess it would get better. I think it would change. For me, I think it would change. The responsibility kind of changes from what it is right now to a different kind of one. Maybe then they might have their own money and all of that, so they don't have to always call you for money. Yeah. But you still somehow feel responsible to, responsible to them. You still feel like certain decisions you'd make. I tell people that one reason why I wish that when I started out podcasting, you know, when I decided I wanted to go into media, and, you know, I decided to, like, what's that word? My name right now, most people know me as Jessica Fortunes, but Fortunes is not my son name. Fortunes is my middle name. So sometimes I really wish I had put Ogu, which is my son name, there, because it would help open the way for the people coming behind me. I mean, I think about it and I'm like, because that's the truth. You know, when you're able to achieve something, it makes it easier for your junior ones to pass through that same door.
Very true.
So I think of it. So I feel like the, what's that word? The responsibility changes. You might no longer give them money, but you still want to make things easier for them in any way possible that you can make it easier for. If you know that, oh, your star wants to go to this university and you know somebody that knows somebody there, you're just going to be like, okay, I'm going to make a call. You know, just that kind of thing. Just to help them make it better. And I also think that, you know, as they grow older, they expect you to be wiser. And you have to always have the wise words. So that kind of thing too. So yeah, those are like the challenges I think of as a 20-something and as a 20-something and as a first one. But do you have any other thing you want to share, like, from your experiences?
Okay, I think that everything still boils down to the person. It totally depends on how much you allow and how much you're able to contain, in the sense that you can leave room for some things. Like your younger ones are human beings of their own. I feel that sometimes you should also allow them grow. Allow them take decisions for themselves. Trust them enough to take decisions for themselves. Push them into responsibility and allow them do stuff for themselves. So you're not just always giving them fish to eat and then you're not teaching them how to fish. So you don't create the avenue where everybody relies on you, and then no people cannot stand on their own. So you have to be careful that in as much as you are a firstborn and you want to be responsible for these people, you're not always going to be there for them. You're not always going to be there with them. So you have to give them the opportunity to grow also, and just show them the way and allow them be. Allow them be. So I noticed that because I've been on a certain path, maybe entrepreneurship. I started doing social media management early. I started doing a lot of things. I've always been the hustle and bustle of life. I've always been energetic, looking for things to do. And so when my sister wasn't doing that, I was worried at some point. I just felt she was lazy or something. But it might not actually be her path. Our path could be something else. So I think that you should also let the younger ones, let them be, let them choose their own path, let them grow. Just show them the way and allow them be what they want to be.
True. I definitely agree with that. I think I was having that conversation with my mom the other day. My sister is currently doing nursing, and so we're talking about different, you know, there are different departments, even in medicine. So, like, what areas do you want to focus on? Where do you want to work? And all of that kind of thing. My mom is like, no, she's going to be part of the, pediatrics and all that. And I'm like, but you didn't even allow her to choose. You didn't even allow her to see. Yeah. I mean, there's so many options. Give this girl options. Allow her to, you know, to find her way. And, you know, and there was this comparison. I realized that she was being compared to me. I was very studious, you know, very, very studious. Yeah, I was. Yeah? Yeah, you're going to say something.
All these there hanging, that even though they don't say, they somehow compare you to.
Yeah.
Respond.
Yeah, we're having that conversation, and I was very studious. Yeah, I was saying that I was very studious in school. You know, I paid attention to school and all of that just to come out with good grades. You know, I was the good child, really. But my sister is kind of different, not a bad child, but she's not as studious as I was. And so there's always this comparison, and I see it and I'm like, no, don't do that to her. That's unfair, because the truth is she has her own parts. She's great at certain things that I'm not great at. For instance, she's doing medicine. I don't think I'll ever have done medicine. I can't stand taking care of people, being with sick people. I won't even touch you if you're sick, because I'm like, I get irritated and I don't want to do it. But she does all of that. She's more homely. She has her strengths, and she has found her path. So if you keep comparing her ways to my ways, you're just going to lead her astray. And I was having that discussion with my mom, and I think that just in line with the fact that we need to let our younger ones just find their path and decide what they want to do with their lives. Because I think that as senior ones, because we're so serious with our lives, right? Yeah. We think that they also have to be serious, but the truth is they don't have to be. We became serious because the position just made us toughen up and, you know, serious about that. And also, I think the last thing I would say is regarding mistakes as firstborn. I think you mentioned that when we started. Also, as a firstborn, you need to remind yourself that it's okay for you to make mistakes. And it's fine. And it's because the truth is there's nobody really telling you, like, don't do it. Okay, yes, your parents are doing it, but I feel like their languages and ours are so different. So sometimes you don't understand what they're saying. But yeah, but remember that it's okay to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. So allow yourself to make mistakes. And I think the beauty of making mistakes is just admitting to yourself, being self-aware enough to know that I made a mistake. Okay, here, I really messed up. And when you have a conversation with your younger ones and you tell them, I messed up. Look at this. I should never have done this. I should have done it this way. So I'm going to advise you, as somebody who has messed up, don't do this. But trying to pretend like you're so supposed to be perfect and without a stain, without any, like, Come on, you're human. Please.
You are.
You're human, and just, you know, just learn to be human. And so, yes, for the past 30 something minutes, myself and goodness have been talking about being a firstborn in an African home. Thank you very much, goodness, for joining me to have this conversation today. It's been amazing chatting with you.
Having me, Jessica. It was amazing.
Thank you very much. And so, guys, that's it for today's episode on 20-somethings Rant podcast. I do think that you probably want to just say something. Again, you can tweet on Twitter using the hashtag 20-somethings Rant, or send an email to 20somethingsrant@gmail.com, or set your timer for our Clubhouse discussion. The description, the date, time, and all of that is going to be in the description box of this episode. And also, you can send a message on Instagram. Have I said that already? I think I have. But anyways, yeah. So that's it. So until next week, make sure to be good, be fine. And if you're a firstborn, know that you're not alone. We all feel the pressure. And we will survive. Yes, I think we were born for this. And with every responsibility that we are faced with, I feel like God has already given us the tools to handle it. And if you don't believe in God, I think that life will give you tools to, you know, walk through it. But whatever you believe in will give you the tools to walk through it. So don't think you are alone. There's definitely going to be a way at the end of the tunnel. Okay. All right. I'm starting to sound like a pastor. So that's it. Peace out. Bye, goodness.
Bye, Jessica.
For listening to today's episode of 20 somethings Rant. I hope you learned something new today and you're willing to share with somebody who might learn from it too. I won't judge you if you don't, but I hope that you can share with me what you learned or what you love about today's episode by using the hashtag 20 somethings Rant on Twitter, or send a DM on Instagram @20somethingsrant. I would definitely love to hear from you. But most important, I hope that you join me again next week. Okay.